Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01, and we have our guest, Bonnie Demersion, in the studio today, and she is here to talk about Wrangell's Christmas bird count. So, you can call in anytime to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Bonnie, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So let's get right to it. A lot of people know that you are an active birder in town. I know that you've told me, you know, you like birding because it's this, it's an intellectual challenge, as well as, you know, ticking off, you know, the different species that you can see. But do give me a sense of what's your involvement with this specific event, the Christmas bird count.
Well, I've been doing the Christmas bird count for about 20 years now. I was invited to do it by an expert birder from the Forest Service, and it got me involved, and I've kept it up ever since, participating and then later on organizing it.
Right on. And let's get right to it. Yeah, what does the Christmas bird count look like? On that day, what are all your volunteers doing?
Okay, well, before count day, I figure out what routes we can cover and then who will do what, because we can, we have a count area, which is a 7-mile radius area, which is the center is Shoemaker Bay. So we try to cover as much of that with as many people as we can find, to make it the most complete count of birds in our particular area. So we have people, as a lot of our area is water, so we always hope to have several boats or more out covering the shores and then the open water in our area. And then, of course, the shore on land, city streets. Well, we have a lot of mountain area that we just don't bother to cover, but we do as much as we can with the people that we have.
How many people do you usually have, or do you have this year?
Let's see. I haven't counted up this year. There's probably about 15. Some people, I should say, are going to be in boats, some people on foot. And then we also have people who watch their bird feeders, and they submit a count as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty typical number this year.
Okay. Yeah, and so people are getting out on their boats. People will be walking the streets. I assume they'll be walking trails. And then there are certain areas that are kind of just too hard to navigate. What is your kind of, I'm curious what your protocol is for navigating maybe the more inland area.
Well, I would say this time of year, the closer you are to the shore and town, the more likely you are to find birds. You get up into, for instance, I go up Rainbow Falls every day, and this time of year, you'd be lucky to hear one or two birds, whereas in other times of the year, there's a lot more. So when you get up into the hills and back inland, it's not too productive usually.
Yeah, okay. Good to know. That makes sense. And before we get into, you know, the data and, you know, really the whole purpose of this Christmas bird count here in Wrangell as well as nationally, do tell me, you know, for any folks that might think, yeah, I wouldn't mind spending this Saturday, you know, helping out, give me a sense of what the day entails for them. You know, how early do they need to get up, and just what does it take to be a good bird counter? Who are you looking for?
Well, I always particularly like people who know what birds they're looking at. And so if you are a more skilled birder. That's somebody that it's really nice to have. If you're not so skilled and like to be paired up with someone, that's always a possibility too, because that's the best way to learn is to just go around with somebody that knows more than you. As far as what a day would look like, usually it's not going to be all day, although sometimes the people who are out in the boats do spend quite a few hours, for instance, going along the shoreline from, for instance, Shoemaker Bay down to McCormick Creek and then across to Edelin Shore. And it can be a long day, but it also can be some of the most exciting birding because this time of year, some of the most interesting birds are water birds. So if you are walking, most of the people who have walking routes this year will probably have about a 2 to 3 mile route. And so however long it takes you to do that. And what you're doing as you go along is you have a checklist and you're counting every bird you see. And that's the goal of this, is of the whole bird count, is to count every bird that everybody sees.
Okay. And then, you know, for those people that are walking their path, I mean, how hard are they looking? You know, do you want to just see the birds that you are naturally going to see and naturally going to encounter, or are you really...
Well, it's always fun to see rarities.
Yeah.
But this time of year, we're mostly seeing our resident birds. So they can be our resident land birds or water birds. But even pigeons and crows. We're counting every one of those ordinary birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like you're saying, this is for our resident birds. So, you know, I think people think of birding as a big springtime, summer activity. But the point of this is to document our resident birds.
Right. Yeah. Because the whole point of the Christmas bird count is to monitor the health of birds all across the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, Latin America, and the Pacific Islands. And so last year, for instance, 59 million birds were counted. Mm-hmm. By about 77,000 counters. So we're interested in what the total populations look like, and then that indicates the health of their habitat, for one thing.
Right on. And you know what? Let's go to a quick break. So if you're just now tuning in, the time is 1:09. We have Bonnie Demergent in the studio, and we are talking about the Christmas bird count. So we'll be back in just a little bit. All right, we are back. I am in the studio with Bonnie Demergent, and we're talking birds and bird counting and really this citizen scientist effort to figure out how healthy our birds are. So, Bonnie, you know, this is something that is going on throughout the entire Western Hemisphere, and it's for a purpose. Just tell me a little bit more about the history of this bird count.
Well, it actually originated in the year 1900, and at that time, and prior to that time, there used to be something called the Christmas side hunt, and that's where people would go out and try to hunt as many birds as they could. It was a contest. And so in the year 1900, they started a new tradition, which was to count all the birds that they could find on Christmas Day. Originally, it was just a Christmas Day thing, rather than to hunt the birds. And so, as a result, we have 119 years, continuous years of information about birds in America and then other areas too. So it's a very valuable source of data for biologists and wildlife managers, researchers, as they study the long-term health and the status of bird populations and how they've changed over the past 100 years. So, for instance, there's been a recent report out that maybe some people are aware of, about a study that found that the number of birds in the United States and Canada has fallen by 30% since 1970. That means we have 30% fewer birds than we did in 1970. This has tremendous implications for many things, mm-hmm. because what's good for birds, it also affects what's good for people. Clean water, clean air, food, a place to live. We're linked together in really significant ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is just a really devastating number to hear. And it's good that the research is out there. Does the research, as far as you know, give us a sense of why that might be?
Well, there are a number of causes that people are talking about. Habitat loss is a huge one. Even now in the boreal forest, a lot of birds that migrate from South America and Latin America breed in the boreal forest, which is not far from us. And even the boreal forest is in danger of disappearing. So this habitat loss is huge. The use of pesticides is also very harmful for birds. I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but there are a number of factors it's more than one thing. Climate change, obviously. Yep. Birds are moving in different places. There's some worry that birds will be moving farther north. Mm-hmm. But yet the food source that they're used to at that particular time of year won't be ready for them. Yeah. And so we'll have losses in that way.
Yeah, I believe this. Thank you so much, Bonnie. That is a lot of good information. And gives us a sense of why research is important and why even just regular people doing these kind of data projects is valuable.
Mm-hmm. I have a little anecdote. I was talking with somebody on the phone yesterday who lives over in the Delta, and they had a small flock of rusty blackbirds at their feeder, and this is remarkable because rusty blackbird populations have dropped 88% in recent years, and we're not really sure why, although they're birds that like wetland and forests, and so that may be part of the problem. But I mean, this is a bird right in our own neighborhood. I mean, it's fantastic to see them, but it's also very rare, and people have been looking for them, not finding them in the last few years. So these things are close to us.
You said the rusty blackbird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and possibly another kind of blackbird called a brewer's blackbird, which both birds are rare. In fact, brewer's blackbird is considered very rare in Alaska, southeast Alaska. So why they're here? I don't know, and it's exciting to see birds like that, but it also raises a lot of questions.
Yeah, like what kinds of questions?
Well, for the rusty blackbirds, there have been so few, so why all of a sudden do we have this little flock? Brewer's blackbird, I mean, you go further south in California or Washington, they're all over the place, but they're not found here. So are they moving north because of climate change? Maybe they're lost. That happens too. We don't know.
They're lost. Yeah, that happens.
They do.
Okay. All right. Then Bonnie, you've got a huge spreadsheet in front of you. So tell us what the data has been telling us about our local bird populations in the past few years.
Okay. Well, I have a spreadsheet from Joe Delabru, who is our compiler for the Christmas bird count. We turn in all our results to him, and he compiles them, and then he sends them into the National Audubon Society. So for the past 8 years, we don't see any rarities, but we see all our familiar birds, and they vary over the years, the numbers that we see, and sometimes it's just a matter of how many counters we have out there. The last couple of years, we have hardly been able to get out in boats at all because it's been very windy. Mm-hmm. So we miss some birds that we would hope to have counted in the past few years. I mean, here's an example of how numbers can vary in it. Western grebes, which if you're a boater, sometimes, many times in the winter, there'd be enormous flocks of them in Chichagof Pass and that area out in the open. One year before last, there were 637 counted. Last year, only 33. So either, you know, the flock was somewhere else or we just didn't get to that place. So it's hard to tell looking over the years, trends, because sometimes they do vary quite a lot. But for instance, we have a lot of local winter ducks like Harlequin ducks and Barrow's Golden Eyes, common mergansers, and we see pretty good numbers of them every year, sometimes just right in the harbor, which is nice. Last year, we had a total of about 3,100 birds. We've had as high as 5,300, but again, it kind of depends on the counters, where they can get, what the weather's like. But about 3,500 birds is kind of average number of total number of individual birds that we see over the years, lately anyway.
Yeah, and that's for only, you know, less than 20 people counting.
Mm-hmm.
And only for, you know, half a day.
Right. I mean, ideally, we, you know, go out once a week all winter or something like that, but to get a better average. But,
yeah, I mean, that's a lot of birds, you know, considering. I mean, do you have any sense of, you know, how many birds are you not seeing? You know, what does this bird count really tell us? Does it tell us this is the number of birds in this area, or does it tell us, you know, this is a 75% of the birds?
Oh, probably not even that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for instance, European starlings, which are an invasive bird, and they're a bird that we don't really like to see because they drive out native birds and they're young, and I am seeing a lot of fairly sizable flocks here this year. Last year, we only had 116. We've never had more than that, but we're just not seeing them. You know, they're flying somewhere else. You know, so this is, if you're a perfectionist, this is not what you want to do, because you're not going to get every bird, but it's a sampling.
Yeah, and I mean, is that why... Is the value of the Christmas bird count, you know, I mean, is it more on the local level or is it more on this large scale level, you know, because it is a sample, you know, is the Audubon Society saying, you know, this is really a value to us because we have so many people all over the Western Hemisphere doing it?
Yeah, there's that. But then if you were a researcher and you were looking at a particular species, or you were looking at a particular region, you could then filter out and just look at the data that you want, you know, and it could help you in your research, maybe see patterns that aren't evident when you look at this great big spreadsheet. You know, you look at things in more detail, and you might see trends in your particular species or your particular area that you're looking at. So this data is used by many different scientists for different things. And maybe I could just talk a little bit more about citizen science in general. This is an example of what they call citizen science, where people who are just ordinary people, amateurs, somebody with a particular interest, can help gather data, which is then submitted and then is used by researchers for all different kinds of projects. So Cornell University runs a number of these programs. Besides the Christmas bird count, they have one that's considered a late winter count called the Great Backyard Bird Count, which is a more informal kind of bird count where you can just pick any area you want, pick amount of time you want. There's a 3-day period. Pick your day and go out and count all the birds you see and then submit them. And so that's a little bit different kind of activity. There's a breeding bird survey, which is not so much a citizen science project, but it is counting birds during the breeding season in June. And that gives us another idea of what's going on when resident and migratory birds are breeding. There's another kind of citizen science bird project that I've been involved in for about 25 years, which is called Feeder Watch. And you just sign up for it, and you watch your bird feeder as many hours as you want for a 2-day stretch each week, and then you submit your counts. And once again, it's a winter bird count. It runs from November through April, but anybody can participate. And most people who are interested in birds at all know a couple birds, you know, and those are the ones that come to your feeder, and that's where you start birding, is looking out your window.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, Bonnie. Yeah. So we went over, you know, what it's going to look like for all your volunteers and the impact of this kind of research, and what that's telling us about the health of our birds and our environment. So it looks like we have a call that might be coming in. But just remind us again, you know, for anybody that is interested in participating, what should they do?
Well, they can give me a call, and I could pair them up with somebody, because I already have the routes and people assigned to them ready to go. But we can always pair people together and go in a small group if there's interest in doing that.
Okay.
Maria Byford.
Oh, Maria.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, June and Bonnie.
She's one of the ones that's going to be
counting. I just wanted to say, this is Maria Byford, and how much fun it is to go and do the bird count, and how much I appreciate not being an expert bird counter, to be paired with someone and learn from them. And I really appreciate the opportunity, and it just sharpens your mental capacities as you're looking at these differences, small differences in birds. Is sort of like being a plein air painter. You study the landscape. In this case, you're studying birds and their differences. And it's a lot of fun, good exercise and fresh air. And I always look forward to it every year.
Thank you, Maria. Yeah, Maria's going to be counting this year too. So I appreciate her efforts.
Thank you for giving us a call. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you again to Maria. That's a pretty good comment. And you have people of all different skill levels, but it seems like everybody is into that intellectual challenge.
Yeah, it's that. I think, some of it's aesthetic, too. You know, birds are beautiful. I love to... I do a lot of my identification by the sounds of birds, and so that's just a whole nother area of interest. Like I said, I think caring about birds, if people do care about birds, then they start to care more about their habitat, the environment, because we see that this creature that we care for has to have all the things to help it survive. And so I think that can help make people more active in helping to preserve their environment.
Don, exactly. Well, Bonnie, thank you for coming in. I think this thing that you do every year is very cool. It's great that Wrangell can be involved in it, and I think the impacts of it are really evident in the 119 years that it's been going on. Not in Wrangell, but all together. So Thank you for coming in, Bonnie, and have a good Saturday birding. Give us a sense of what your route is.
Well, I kind of usually do what nobody else wants to do. So I think I will probably walk the highway from Shoebaker Bay on out, go see what's out at Pat's Lake, and maybe go over to the golf course too.
Right on. You said the golf course is not a bad place to go birding.
Uh-huh. Not this time of year necessarily, but yeah, in the spring and summer, it's a really good bird place because it has so many different kinds of habitat. I mean, 7 or 8 different habitats. Yeah, it's a fun place.
Okay. Well, I hope the weather is in your favor and that you enjoy all the exercise and you see some birds that you're used to and maybe even some that you're not.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks again, Bonnie.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the time is 1:28, and as always, we will be back next week with another guest for Talk on the Rock. See you then.